2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, we read one story about Elijah. Now we're going to read a second story, and we're going to be looking at these two stories today. And we'll be looking at Elijah as he walked with God, and secondly, and then he was no more because the Lord took him. And then thirdly, we'll be looking at, let us walk with God until we are no more and the Lord takes us away. Elijah walked with God, then he was no more because the Lord took him away. Let us walk with God until we are no more and the Lord takes us away. In difficult times, in difficult circumstances, Elijah walked with God. 2 Kings 2, verses 1 through 14. Elijah taken up to heaven. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent us to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went up to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots of and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back to the and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. Elijah walked with God, and then he was no more because the Lord took him away. And let us walk with God until we are no more and the Lord takes us away. Elijah the prophet was like John the Baptist. He preached repentance. John the Baptist preached it to King Herod. Elijah preached it to King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, and today he preaches it to their son, who's now king. Now, let's look at him. He's also like Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5, we read of how altogether Adam lived 930 years and then he died. Altogether, Jared lived 960 years and then he died. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years and then, this is what we read, Enoch walked with God and then he was no more because the Lord took him away. And then we read, Methuselah, his son, lived 969 years and then he died. What's so different about Enoch? Well, he walked with the Lord. That's noted, isn't it? And then the Lord took him away. He never died. Like Elijah, he lived in bad times. Things were getting bad, worse each year. They were building up to the time of the flood, when the Lord would look down and see that the thoughts and imagination of men were only evil, continually destroy the world with the flood. Those were the kind of times in which Enoch lived, but he walked with the Lord, and then he didn't die. The Lord took him. Elijah walked with God. Now, what does this mean? What does it mean to walk with God? What does it mean? How did Elijah walk with God? What is involved in walking with God? It involved, when we read the stories of Elijah, he listened to God. When God spoke, he listened to him. He wasn't deaf. He listened. He heard what he said. And he also spoke with him. He prayed to him. How did he walk with the Lord? He represented God. He stood for God. He was like God's ambassador. He went to people about God. And he walked with God. God protected him. He was safe when people tried to destroy him. God protected him. He walked with God. He served as God's prophet. He spoke for God in every way, in what he believed, in what he said, in what he did. He spoke for God. Now, so here he is. He's God's ambassador. He's the one who represents God to Ahab, the king of Israel. Now, this was hard. This is what we read about King Ahab. There was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now, notice that phrase. He sold himself to do evil. He sold out to doing evil. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he was going to do. That's what he was committed to do. He sold out to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, to rebel against God. And he was urged on by Jezebel, his wife. He had a partnership to help him in his selling out to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now, after Ahab and his wife Jezebel had murdered Naboth and stolen his vineyard from him, God had spoken to Elijah. He said this, "Go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in Naboth's vineyard where he has gone to take possession of it. Say to him, 'This is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property?' Then say to him, 'This is what the Lord says. In the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours.'" Now, he's to say this to the king now. "And also concerning Jezebel, the Lord says, 'Dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of the plot of the ground at Jezreel. dogs will eat those belonging to Ahab who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country. He went to the king, and he told this to the king. And how did Ahab respond? Well, he humbled himself. And the Lord relented. The Lord doesn't bring all this about immediately. See him talking here to Elijah? Have you noticed, the Lord says, how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his son. The Lord is gracious, isn't he? He doesn't save everybody, but he is gracious to even the very, very wicked. But what God has said would happen when his people disobeyed did happen. God had said through Moses, if you fail to do this to the children of Israel, to keep my covenant, to do what I say, to obey me, to honor me, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Now, he knew that. And though God relented, his sin was going to find him out. This God that Elijah walks with, and God has many names, but his name here is Elkanah, the jealous God. In giving the Ten Commandments, the Lord says this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. He's a jealous God who punishes the wicked. His love is a jealous God, love. He never lets go of those that he loves. In Exodus 34, verse 14, do not worship any other God for the Lord, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Elijah is speaking then for a jealous God. Now both Moses and Jesus tell us this, that we are to love the Lord our God and serve him only. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. We are to love the Lord and serve him with all that is in us. He is good. He is holy. He has made us. He's made the world. He is love. And King Ahaziah, the son of Ahab and Jezebel, is king. And Elijah's to go and speak to King Ahaziah. And in his relationship to the Lord, he was one of Israel's very worst kings. We read this in 1 Kings 22. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he walked in the ways of his father and mother and in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. He served and worshiped Baal. He provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger, just as his father had done. Now, one of the problems that that we've said of Ahaziah that makes him possibly even worse than his father Ahaz is that he'd seen God deal with Ahaz, with Ahab. He'd seen the power of God on Mount Carmel. He'd seen 3 years of famine as a result of his worshiping idols. His father had died just as the Lord said he would. He'd seen that God was a jealous God. He'd seen God relent when his father humbled himself. And he has this accident. And in his accident, he still doesn't turn to the Lord. He turns to the Beelzebub. Now, translated, that means Beelzebub, his name is the Lord of the Flies. He was the god of a particular section in where the Philistines lived, where there were a lot of flies. So there's this Lord as God of the flies that people would go to. I don't know, originally made just to get rid of the flies. But he goes to the Lord of the flies after seeing the power of God, his holiness, his justice, the fact that he does relent. He knows the history of Israel. He knows that God has brought them out of Egypt. He knows how he's been good to them, bringing them to delivering them out of slavery to the land of Canaan. He knows all of this, and he's seen the Lord at work. And when he falls, he hurts himself, he doesn't go to inquire of the Lord's prophet. He goes to no God. Isn't that what an idol is? It's no God. He goes to no God. He's a fool. And what does he do next? Well, the Lord sends Elijah to him, sends Elijah to interrupt these messengers on their way to inquire of Beelzebub. And the message is that well, this is what the angel Lord says to Elijah. Go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going off to consult Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, this is what the Lord says, you will not leave the bed you are lying on, you will certainly die. He's God's prophet. He's speaking for God. He's God's ambassador. He's representing God. Now, when these messengers quickly returned, King Ahaziah asked them, why have you come back? And he learns that Elijah has spoken to them. And what's his response? Twice, King Ahaziah sends captains of 50 soldiers to bring Elijah to him. But they weren't there just to bring him to him. He wanted to kill him. And they come and they say to Elijah, in our story we read, why they call out to him to come down, and Elijah said, well, if there's a Lord in heaven, may fire come down and consume you. So twice they're just consumed by fire. Fire falls from heaven. And then a third captain comes with 50 soldiers. And let us walk with the Lord the way this third captain walks. He's obeying the king's orders, isn't he? He's going with his soldiers to bring Elijah back. But he asks that Elijah spare his life. He fears the Lord, doesn't he? And the Lord says, he's humbled himself before the Lord. And the Lord spares his life. And he brings Elijah to him. The Lord tells Elijah he's safe to go with. So he talks to the king now, Ahaziah. But let us, we sometimes are in difficult positions like that, aren't we? We're told to do things. But we're to honor God, aren't we? Amen. And we honor God, and the Lord is with us. Now, let's remember then, let's not walk with the likes of King Ahaziah, but let's remember that Elijah, like Enoch, walked with God, and then he was no more. Now, those closest to Elijah, and Elijah himself, knew the very day that the Lord was going to take him. And they had a hard time facing this. Elisha doesn't want to leave him. And the fact that he was gone, after Elisha comes back, the prophets search all over for him. They can't accept the fact that he's gone. And then he was no more. Elijah and Elisha, they were close. God had put them together. Elisha was to succeed Elijah in what he did. Elisha insists on remaining with Elijah. And so they come to the Jordan River. And what does Elijah do? Takes off his cloak, hits the water, and the water parts. And they walk over. There. They cross over on dry ground. And after they cross, Elijah says to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" Elisha's request is this: "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." "You've done a difficult thing," Elijah said, "yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they're going, as Elijah is going to be no more with them, suddenly they're separated. A chariot of fire comes down. Elijah goes up to heaven in a whirlwind. What's his response? He takes off his clothes and tears them apart. My father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." That's who protected Israel. He'd seen the hand of the Lord take him to heaven. And did you know that the Bible tells us that God's angels are going to see that we make it to heaven, that Satan doesn't prevent us from going to heaven? But there's this graphic illustration, isn't there? And he never dies, he's just taken up to heaven. Elijah walked with God, and then he was no more because the Lord took him away. Now Elijah had asked Elisha what he could do for him. And Elisha had told him, a double portion of God's Spirit. So he picks up his cloak that had fallen from the cloak that had fallen from Elijah, his clothes are in tatters, went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took this cloak and he hit the water and he walked across on dry ground. God's Spirit would be with him, wouldn't it? The Spirit that had been with Elijah would be with him, Elisha. So let us walk with God until we are no more. Let us walk with God until we are no more. Enoch did it, and now Elijah did it. John the Baptist walked with God, and he lost his life for it. Jesus walked with God, didn't he? To the point of dying on the cross for our sins and preparing a place for us in heaven. Let us walk with God until we are no more on this earth. Amen. And while we would, let us then not provoke our jealous God. Let us not sell ourselves out to do evil. Let us respond to God's word, to his message to us. King Herod executed John the Baptist in response to his word. Ahaziah rejected the word of the Lord, and both of them died terrible deaths. But let us walk with Jesus. He is one God in three persons. God is one God in three persons. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus lived on earth. He can sympathize with us. He obeyed his heavenly Father perfectly. He never sinned. And he has prepared a place for us in heaven by dying on the cross. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He rose again and he ascended to heaven. And then from heaven, he deposited the Holy Spirit in us. I hope you like this phrase as much as I do. And our hearts became his home. Our hearts became his home. And he remains in us always. He remains always with us. And he's all that we need. There's a song that says, "Come to the Savior now. He gently calleth thee." You can tell it's King, it's old, it's King James English. "Come to the Savior now, he gentlest calleth thee. In humble reverence bow before him, bend the knee. He calls us to repent and promises to bless us. And come to the Savior now. All who are weary," and Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary, and I will give you rest." But then what are we to do about the sin that remains in us? God's law keeps reminding us, doesn't it, that we're sinful. And, Paul, at the end of his life, says, "Of sinners I am chief." We see, the more we learn about God's law and how holy he is, the more we're convicted of our sin, the more sensitive we become to sin. And the Apostle Paul describes this as there's sin, I'm flesh, and there's simply sin that's in my flesh. It's just there, and I can't get rid of it. What am I to do about it? The evil I don't want to do, I find myself doing. What am I to do about it? And he concludes that passage by saying, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ." If we confess our sins, what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to clean us up, to purify us of all unrighteousness. And if we say we don't have any sins, we're liars. So it's a good thing to see our sin, isn't it? It's a good thing to see that we're flesh, because in Jesus, there's an answer to our problem, isn't there? And this is true of besetting sins. Now, what do I mean by besetting sin? I mean a sin that's a habit of sin. There's some stuff that we pray about and it just goes. But there are things that run pretty deep that we keep coming back to him about or besetting back to him about. But thanks be through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does Paul say? He says, of sinners I am chief, but then he says what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We've been born again. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been born again. And what does this mean? This means that you're to walk by faith, trusting in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all that they have done and can do for you. What does this mean? It means we're to walk in love, doesn't it? It means we're to walk in faith. It means we're to walk in love. It means we're to walk in hope with confidence, knowing that God will take care of us. No matter what happens, he is there. It means we are to rejoice in our salvation. God has saved us. We're not burdened down. He sets us free. We're new. We're a new creation. And this joy of the Lord, we're not depressed, is our strength. We can rejoice in his salvation. He's with us always. He saved us. He gives us victory. It's from victory to victory. Let all of us who believe in the God of the Bible and the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit believe that God has saved you. Let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. The fruit, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and there's fruit in us. And God cultivates it. Now, will there be bumps in the road? You know, I've commented almost every time I get in the car and there's drivers in the car, I've been remarking them these days that, man, there are a lot of potholes in Philadelphia this year. There are a lot of potholes. And there are a lot of potholes on the road that we're on that leads to heaven, isn't there? And Paul says this to us, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. This is what God has tasked us to do. He had a task for John the Baptist. He had a task for Elijah. And their task was, like that of Enoch, to walk with God until they were no more. Now, till they were no more. We know what that meant to Elijah and to Enoch. And we know what the promise that the thief on the cross had, don't we? Today you will be with me in paradise. So if we die, we know it's until that moment of death. It's also till Jesus comes, though, isn't it? And then maybe we'll be, there'll be a lot of Enochs and a lot of Elijahs who the Lord simply takes. And until that time, let us seek the Lord with all of our hearts to serve as his, and the word Paul uses, ambassador, to represent him to this world that we live in. And it's the world of Elijah. It's the world of Enoch. It's the world. Let us walk with God. Until we are no more, until the Lord takes us away, let us walk with God. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And he invites, his invitation goes out, come to me, believe, confess your sin, believe on me, and you will be saved, and you will walk with me. You're a new person, you're a new creation. And the joy, there's a lot to rejoice in, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the joy of our salvation. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. We thank you for your saving work, the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we ask now that you will be with us as we approach the Lord's table. In our Savior's name we pray, amen. Why don't we stand as we sing, Because He Lives.